our generation, which was that ruthless kind of tough man mindset, to then very, very soft. So in between that, it was hard to adjust. And it's like, nobody's asking a man to just cry. That's not the point. But it's being able to know how to articulate yourself, even mentally. It's not even about to others yet. I always say master the way you think first, then speak, and then you connect with others.
Southwest Florida is one of the most beautiful places on the planet to live. For those of you that are thinking of moving from other states to come to Florida, or even just moving to a different part of the state, I want you to think of a big, beautiful luxury home. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. They are a family-owned and operated luxury residential construction company. As a family-owned business, they believe in the power of building not just homes, but legacies. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. The nightmare of feeling like you'll never measure up, of constant second-guessing and self-doubt. It eats away at you and destroys your confidence. I've been there too, feeling like I didn't belong on the field with my teammates. But it doesn't have to stay that way. I used to compare myself to everyone around me. I thought that no matter how hard I worked, I'd never be as good as the other guys. It killed my self-belief. I now help athletes develop an elite mindset so comparison no longer controls them. We teach techniques to cut out the negative self-talk and unlock their full potential. Imagine stepping into the box when it counts the most and feeling totally confident in your ability. Feeling invincible instead of insecure, ready to seize the opportunity instead of shrinking from it. That's the mindset I help athletes develop. Don't waste another minute on comparison and self-doubt. Take control of your mindset and become the confident, unstoppable competitor you were meant to be. DM or comment below to get started with Edge and transform your mental game. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. I am your host, Sean French, and today I have with me an absolute juggernaut of a CEO who has spent millions of dollars over the last decade in mentorship and getting in the right rooms with people that can help him grow his brand and him as a master communicator, a CEO of Next Gen Wealthy. I have my boy, Jay DeHaan, here with us today. What's up, buddy?
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, bro, long overdue. It's probably my fault. It is my fault. But, dude, so happy to have you here on a wonderful day. And we're going to chop it up and give the audience some amazing value. And so they can learn more about you and your story and what you've created over the last however many years in building your brand, your business, and your group and everything that you're doing, man. You're doing some really cool shit. So happy to have you.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. So for the audience that doesn't know you, right, why don't you get into your background a little bit and just tell them who you are, where you've been, where you're at now, and where you're going.
Absolutely. You know, being born in Canada in those freezing cold winters really gave me the insights of I don't like the cold. So that's why I now live in Tampa. So that's amazing to be in America and in Florida. But it all started with me, you know, as a young guy that thinking school really wasn't for me. You know, getting out of the high school system, thinking about college and university was kind of confusing. My dad had come in as a taxi driver, immigrated to Canada and upgraded to being a business owner, a small little Indian grocery store. So entrepreneurship was always an interest, a fascination for me, you know, being my own boss, setting my own hours. And very quickly in my early 20s, I was able to take knowledge by going to seminars. I'm a big advocate of personal development and learning from amazing coaches that gave me that empowerment to take on my dad's small residential real estate portfolio. I took over that real estate portfolio and I, you know, within the years that I had it, converted it into commercial, and we ended up becoming commercial retail developers. So I made most of my wealth through commercial real estate development. And funny enough, it was just through the communications and connections. And I'm sure we're going to dive into that a lot today. So from that point on, you know, making money in real estate, living that life, I made a lot of mistakes. Took all the millions that I was making and I started buying businesses, trying this, trying that, distracting myself until I got to a point where it's like, no, you got to keep it clear. So real estate has always been my engine, but my passion was a little bit different. My passion truly came out during COVID, during everyone going home and being restricted. And it came down to using our voice. How do we use our voice to go out there and actually influence and impact? How do we truly be able to go and connect with people in a society that's not letting us connect anymore? So I made it a quest of mine to build out my company, Next Gen Wealthy, to inspire and empower those to live a life by design, mastering the way that they can think, they can speak, they can connect. So a lot of my background comes from NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and hypnotherapy that allows me to really know the psychological side, but then the practicality of going out, shaking hands, being at conferences, and connecting with gentlemen like you.
Dude. That's awesome, man. There's some things in your story that I want to cover, because I think there's some, you know, at the very beginning, if we rewind back to you reevaluating if the university and school was really for you, and society will tell us, and it told me, I mean, we're relatively probably the same age, you know, I'm in my 40s, I don't know where you're at, but, you know, you might be a little younger, but, you know, the reality is everybody tells us we have to go to high school, we have to get great grades, and then we have to go to university and get your degree. And although I think there's some value to that, especially if you're in athletics, et cetera, or you want to be a doctor or something like that, but there's a lot of people now that are disrupting that. And what are your thoughts now, man? Because people still want to focus on, if you don't go to college, you're not going to be successful. I don't really believe that.
No, I don't believe that anymore either, because what we have to understand is the school system was designed specifically to, of course, make us into corporate machines. That's how it originally started in the Industrial Revolution. Now, bringing that into modern day time, we didn't really upgrade the system, which was a bad thing. But what did really school teach us, if you think about the core fundamentals on a psychological basis? Consistency, discipline, showing up. You know, when they started online education and people were online, you could lay in your bed and watch your program. That was different than the mindset of getting up, getting ready, going to school, being in front of your teacher. So that's a good pattern that I think that school had a good basis on. But the actual curriculum is where they have failed. They have not been able to update the curriculums for what this now generation needs to learn when it comes to confidence, when it comes to communication, when it comes to belief systems. And these kind of things now are taking on a more of a face value front in the independent generation we live in.
I'm all about this. This is very interesting. And we're going to go down this rabbit hole here, because I can tell you without a lack of any confidence, I went through high school, played Division I baseball at LSU, graduated. I'm not saying I was like valedictorian or any shit like that, because I was not. The only thing that got me through college and graduating was, you know, baseball. Like, I had to, or else I would be ineligible, right? I wouldn't be able to play. But you touched on something, man. You touched on something that is very valuable. And for those of you at home listening, or in your car, or getting your pump on in the gym, really dive in and think about what he said about it teaches you consistency, to stick with something, commitment, determination, whatever it is. But where it always falls short is the curriculum. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I did not know how to budget money. I didn't know shit about entrepreneurship. All I knew when I left school was how to be a just robot, a corporate robot. And hey, listen, the corporate America, it made me, right? I give a lot of credit to corporate America. I am out now. As of this month or last month, I was out 100% gone, full-time entrepreneur. And I haven't been in a bad mood since. Okay. I want to really bring that to the forefront for those of you that are listening. Was it a gamble? Absolutely. But every day I'm going to bet on me 10 times over. And I don't give a shit what school, what major. They don't teach you how to bet on yourself. And I think that right there is a travesty.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. And even in, like, you know, when we're going through these years, who's talking about what we actually want? You know, everyone's telling you what you need, but who's actually asking you what you want? That's a big thing right there. In schools, we're just like, okay, you got to learn this. Oh, you got to go through these classes. But like you just mentioned, finance is big. You know, I got financial advisors and people, like friends that are financial advisors, that gotten their degrees in finance, but they don't even know how to balance their own books. So it's like, it's awesome that you've gone ahead and done a 4-year degree in finance. It's great. But where is this actually applying to your own world? And how are you using that knowledge now to upscale yourself? You know, that's why seminars, webinars, and coaches, you know, this world of coaches that we live in now, you know, the speakers and the influencers, this has become the norm now, because now it's being able to learn from somebody's individual experience. When we were in school, we were learning from somebody that drove a Toyota, that we were convincing us to be a doctor to then eventually buy a Lamborghini. But now in the world of this, you know, and it's a little bit of a double standard here, is now we're actually looking for people that have accomplished the lifestyle that you want to live, and then learning from them. The only caveat that I will say to that is that we're living also in a very fake generation, because now people are renting Lamborghinis, showing a lifestyle, saying that you can have this too, and you can't. It doesn't work like that. You know, you have to put in hard work. You got to put in the reps, and you and I know that.
Absolutely. And dude, it's so funny, because you know, you talk about education, and we talk about learning from those like Ed Milet, Andy Frisella, the big dudes, right? They are what? They're entrepreneurs. They built this big brand off of social media and in their real life, and then took their experiences and brought it to the platform. Now what you're touching on when you're talking about, you know, this is some real baller buster shit, right? That, you know, people are renting Lamborghinis and, you know, talking about they live in a $25 million mansion, but they don't own it, right? They're now, again, renting a $25 million mansion is still a hell of a nut every month to crack. But still, we have people living in this fake world that are out there influencing others to buy their programs, and you're going to make seven figures in 90 days. To the audience, I have to be honest with you. Like, if you believe that, then you deserve it. Like, you actually deserve the hard knock lesson from Hard Knock University that you will learn in purchasing a $15,000 course for 90 days and thinking you're going to be a millionaire. That is just, I mean, it's predatory, right? But at the same time, like, hey, if we're not street smart enough to know that this is a scam, well, like, hey, good luck. You're going to learn, right?
Yeah. And in this industry there's big names, and I, you know, not to put anybody on the spot, but when you see 10X culture, it's interesting because their culture kind of, it helped instill that and give that real power to the people. You know, Grant was able to do that in such a way and be able to expand his business and charge $40,000 workshops. And then everyone thought, okay, I can do this too. I can start charging people that too. But what happened there? Trust value has gone down more than anything. That's why authenticity is the number one frequency in the world. Right? Trust is everything now, because we can see it now. We're not stupid. Back in the day, we'd be like, okay, let's try it, and we'll figure it out. Now it's like, there's no way I'm even doing that, because I don't trust that. I have a gut feeling that there's something off. And that now is a different generation of now seeing, great, you can be a leader. Great, you can be an influencer. But where's the authenticity? Where is it where I see you on screen the same way that I see you in person? That's going to be the wave of the future now, in my opinion.
Spot on, dude. I think one of your gifts and one of my gifts, and this is something that we have a mutual circle, right? And people know us both as we are. And the feedback I always get on you, the feedback I always get on me is like, I can call you, or I can see you in public, or I can, you know, see you on Instagram or hop on a show with you, and it's the same energy. How do you do that? Well, because it's me. It's who I am. Like, I don't believe in creating a certain character for you or for anybody. Now, again, like, there are some times where, you know, we're diving into that personality a little bit more for entertainment. And it's ever evolving, right? Like, there's things that I used to speak on, you know, 2-3 years ago that I'm like, I would never say that again. Right. But it's who I was at the moment. Right. And I think what we're lacking right now, I know what we're lacking, Jay, is a community on social media and in the coaching space. We're lacking authenticity, man. And it drives me crazy. And for instance, you'll see one person do a video, and then you'll see another person do the same exact video. It's the same words. It's like, guys, you're not doing anything. Like, I believe in copycatting, because the best things were copycats. I mean, like, look, I mean, there's some, like, you know, if someone copies me, I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Like, that's cool, man. Thank you. It gives me the sense that I'm on the right track. But make it your own. Make it your own. Like, don't sit there in this little pressure chamber, in this bubble, and be completely fake and think you're going to get something out of it. That is the biggest problem that I'm seeing right now in the influencer and coach world, man.
Absolutely. My coach, Richard Dolan, always said to me, he said, imitation versus emulation, right? Are you imitating or emulating? That those are two completely different things there, right? Imitation is not necessarily negative, but imitation is doing it in a way that's not really the right fit. It's doing it for the wrong intention. Whereas an emulation is looking up towards somebody and saying, wow, that guidance can now be passed to me, like you said. And now I got to kind of put my sauce on it, my flavor to it, and bring that to the world.
I agree, man. I've never heard it broken down like that. Imitation versus emulation. You never want to imitate, right? We're all limited editions of ourselves, including the original person who put the content out. They're one of one, man. We are one of one. There's not another Jay DeHaan out there. There's not. There's people that may do the same thing. There's people that may have the same message, but zero people are going to deliver it like you can authentically. And I think that's what makes people so powerful, is when they're not afraid to stand on their own two feet and speak up and say, this is who I am. This is who I am. And I think it brings a very high level ability to communicate, and communication is one of your specialties. So why don't we take the opportunity to segue into communication and how it's helped you, you know, become who you are in the world?
Of course, the main thing is fear. You know, one of my biggest fears growing up was public speaking. Right? Mm. And when I looked into the statistic and it said, you know, public speaking is number one on the fear list. Number two is death. So people would rather die than to public speak. I thought, interesting, you know, because fear was always a motivator for me. I wanted to overcome fear, but it was very challenging for me. And looking at a fear of public speaking, it's like, how is that going to work now? How do I do it? Yeah, of course, I got to put the training into it. I got to put the reps into it. I got to force myself on stage. I got to do this stuff. But it came down to this one thing that I learned that really changed my whole perspective on communication itself as a whole, let alone public speaking. Because whether it's one-to-one, whether it's one-to-many or one-to-few, it really comes down to this. 55% is body language. It's how you can see me right now. It's how my eyes are moving, how my hand, and the energy that my body can give. 38% is the nonverbals. This is where a lot of people mess up, because the nonverbals is the confidence. People ask me all the time, how do I get confidence? Nonverbals. 38% is nonverbals. Change your tonality. Put character to your voice so people are interested to listen to you. And only 7% is just the words. So what we do in our minds as humans is, because we have this survival instinct, we go, oh, I'm going to say the wrong thing. I might ask a dumb question. I might, and we get inside of our mind too much, and we stop to not think about 7% is just the words. Nobody really cares what you're saying. It's how you actually say it and what you make them feel inside. So that was just really the turning point in my life about getting out there and communicating, and, you know, going to bars. And, you know, I'm a very social butterfly. So I would go to bars and I would sit there and I would force myself into conversations, you know, talk to the gentleman at the bar. Hey, where are you from? We're constantly practicing, but not practicing in a forceful way, practicing in an environment and giving myself incremental steps. When we talk about authenticity, it's crazy, because everyone's like, okay, well, of course I want to be the best version of myself. So I'm going to aim for that ideal version of myself. It's too far of a goal. Why don't you just do one act today? Just go put smile on 10 faces today. That's all you got to do, and just keep it consistent. And that transformed me over the years to then being able to learn from some of the best, you know, working with Tony Robbins and, you know, Grant Cardone and my coach, Richard Dolan, you know, very, very linguistically inclined people in their own aspects, and really using that energy to continuously push myself now. And now with, you know, the momentum that we have, teaching men specifically. So the Lion's Den that we've created is a men's only mastermind, and it's for men specifically because it's harder for us to communicate. We're not very emotional beings. We've been suppressed for so long in terms of be a man, rub some dirt in it. And then everyone said, okay, well, now you can be a woman if you want. It's crazy how the contrast went. But at the end of the day, the masculine men just go, you know what? I got to learn how to just communicate so I can at least just get better up here, which will then in turn help my relationship. In turn, it'll help my business. It'll help my team. And that is the ultimate skill that we all need to learn, is communication. We're not focusing on it. And that's wrong with our society at the moment.
I love it, Jay. I mean, like, there's so much to unpack there. Okay. But I want to tell a funny story. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Fear of public speaking, the number one fear next to death. That shit is real, bro. That shit is so real. And here's a funny story for you and for the listeners. So I remember being in junior college, right? Playing baseball at Los Medanos College right before I went to LSU. And, I actually had one stop in between. For accuracy purposes, but I was in this communications class and we had to give a speech, and I didn't know when I signed up for this class, I was told, like, hey, this is cake, do this class. And you talk about speeches. And I immediately, the first speech I had to do, I didn't show up to class for like 3 weeks because I didn't want to do this in front of 12 people And then I did it. Right. Finally did it. They're like, hey, if you don't do this, you're going to fail. And I knocked it out of the park. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't so bad. And then I went to LSU, and then Skip Bertman tells us, hey, we have this thing called coaches committee here. You know, in the fall, we have dinners. People come in, the coaches committee come in, and then we have some of the newcomers come in, grab a microphone, and talk to 500 people and say who you are, etc. And those were very anxietizing moments for me. And I'm not going to lie, I still get nervous before I'm about to go in front of a group of people. But I'm going to tell you something. On the other side of that fear is something that you conquered. And if you can get to that point, if you allow yourself to grow into that and lean into those feelings, man, the world opens up. I mean, had I never done that, and I had never done the things that I'm doing now with my show and speaking locally to, you know, middle school kids or whatever, bro, I wouldn't have a TED Talk in March. And there we go. Another fear. Like, if I'm going to sit here and tell you guys, you to your face and everybody who's listening to me, because I'm always very honest how I feel. Oh, I'm scared. I'm fearful of that. Like, it scares me. It scares me because I know the gravity of the situation. It's not the actual talk. It's the gravity. So how can I deliver a good conversation, have great tonality, fantastic body language, and not worry if I'm giving the wrong information as long as I'm delivering it the right way? Now, again, I don't want to give false information, but if I mess up, do they know I messed up? Probably not, right? We know, so we can continue to keep going. But dude, I just want to give some serious, like, loved that statement that public speaking fear is real. And if people are feeling it, it doesn't mean that it needs to stop you.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, our mind is conditioned by, I call it, three gatekeepers. Another immense lesson that I learned from Richard Dolan: judgment, ego, and fear. We call it Jeff. Judgment, ego, fear. The judgment of others, the ego within yourself, or the fear of the unknown. You see, these gatekeepers, what they're designed to do is help your brain do its only function, which is survive. So at any moment, if your conscious mind now says, okay, I'm about to go on a stage, I'm about to go do something, that you're going to be speaking from one of those keepers. So for some people, it's fear. For some people, it's like, well, I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, just like how you mentioned, the magnification of what this could actually do and how that's going to impact. Then there's also the judgment side. Judgment side is, like, what are the people going to say? What if I mess up and they make fun of me? And then the ego is, man, I got this. I'll blow it out of the park. And then you end up slipping and falling on stage. You know, like these kind of things. And when you look at these gatekeepers and you start getting more into the psychological side of things and the subconscious mind, our subconscious mind doesn't know what's real and fake. Mm. It just moves. Like, when I'm thirsty and I grab this bottle of water and I put it down, my subconscious mind just goes, perfect. We've replenished, water. Good. My conscious mind had to be like, oh, here's the water bottle. Okay, perfect. Now I got to unscrew the top. I got to put it. Okay, perfect. Perfect. I drank the water. So when we start to actually tune in more to our subconscious mind, that's where we can make things really fun for the way that we test ourselves. We play games with ourselves and really get ourselves to that next level and keep pushing to that next level. That resilience, I like to say.
I agree, man. And it's funny because you talked about, the three gatekeepers. Do you remember the first video you ever put out? Do you remember recording it?
No.
I do. It was right before I was about to launch my Determined Society Facebook group, because that's all it was. The Determined Society wasn't even a podcast yet. And it was so big. I'm like, dude, it's a Facebook group. But I took it like it was the Super Bowl or Game 7 of the World Series, you know, winning run on third base, two outs. Like, I was that serious about it. And I remember what I was wearing. I was wearing this royal blue Columbia long sleeve fishing shirt, and I had just gotten done with a run, and I sat on the right hand side of the corner of my garage with my back against it, and I filmed the video. And I was so scared of what other people were going to think about me, the judgment, right? Of others. And then I moved to, like, man, hell with this shit. I'm just going to do it. I got this. And you go through those things, I think, every time. And I think it's important, you know, to educate the audience on every time we do something new, these three gatekeepers are probably going to fire, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. Anything uncomfortable.
So what are some tips you can give the audience in your experience that when those three gatekeepers, the judgment, the ego, and the fear start to fire a little bit, how do we move in spite of that?
Absolutely. The first thing is, of course, taking awareness of it. So even just acknowledging which one you're speaking from, this takes practice. This isn't as simple as an, okay, the next uncomfortable situation I'm in, it's this one, right? We usually have a primary, we usually have a secondary, right? So when you do this analysis on yourself and you start evaluating yourself, now start to be aware of it. Start to understand which one is coming, which one is speaking. Now it's like, okay, now that I know it's there, how do I actually get rid of it? Or how do I mitigate it? Well, this is a simple thought pattern technique that you can use, which is understanding the levels of your thoughts. There's three levels of thoughts that we have. Level one, level two, level three, for simple purposes. And let's just use an emotion, for example, like anger. I'll use that just as from a language standpoint. In level one, you would sound something like, I am angry. Simple. Level two sounds like, I am having a thought that I am angry. Okay? Mm. And level three is, I believe I'm having a thought that I'm angry. So what that's doing is it's disassociation. So I'll give you an example. Let's just say you're driving down the freeway. You're going, you're in the fast lane, and some guy just swings past you, cuts you off. You almost sway off the road, and he's gone. So you're pissed. You're like, what the heck? Who is this guy? Man, what? Level one thinking is you in the driver's seat. That is you saying, man, fuck this guy. Are you kidding me? You almost swung me off the road. Level two thinking now is the version of you in the passenger seat. That version of you is like, whoa, slow down. What are you going to do? Call the cops? Are we going to go crash into him? Like, come on, we got to have a reasoning here. It's like the devil and the angel on your shoulders, so to speak, right? We do this thousands of times a day, trying to go back and forth between level one and level two. Now, see, the problem there is that if you start to understand that level one and two is not getting you to the solution, it's just giving you that back and forth teeter-totter thinking and actually losing bandwidth, understanding level three is where the power zone is. The version of you in the backseat. That's got your arms up like this, going, look at Tweedledee trying to explain to Tweedledum that we're angry right now. You know how much more stuff we got, our bandwidth should be focused on? And when you disassociate yourself away from even just the current circumstance you're in, it allows you to think logical versus emotional. Because when we're inside the scene, of course you're going to be emotional. You almost swayed off the road. It's your nice car. It's this. There's so many factors that can justify it to our conscious mind saying that I'm angry. Like I didn't do anything wrong. But then the other side is, well, come on, let's just chill. We still got to get to work, but it's still bugging me until I get to that third level where I go, swipe it clean, on to the next thought. Let's keep moving forward.
Dude, that's awesome. Because like, you know, when you get, for your example, almost getting run off the road, it's emotional because like you start thinking like, well, what could have happened? Right. And I have children, I have a wife, I have all this stuff going on, you know, what would have happened? And that's where you get like really, you know, like, I can't believe this. And you just take it personal, right? What we got to understand is nothing's personal. Like that person didn't say, okay, that's Jay in that car right there. I'm going to go cut them off. You know, I mean, so, but the person in the backseat, the level three is like, hey, you know what? Yeah, that could have happened, but it didn't. And now you have the opportunity to slow down, get to work safely and on time, and you still get to go home and see your family. So the worst thing didn't even happen. So why are we going to let what could have happened ruin the rest of our day? And a lot of times individuals will, including me, I've done it before. I will let a bad moment of 5 minutes or even 20 seconds impact the rest of my day. And that's when we have to really evaluate and reflect on our day. Like, why did I do that? Why did I let something that didn't even happen create a bad day? I just took that 5 minute period and peanut buttered it all over my whole day. And now the whole day's ruined. Like that's something that I think about often, Jay. It's like, why? You're into NLP and, you know, all these kinds of things. What are some of the reasons why people do that?
In terms of people doing that, I'll say it's the RAS. It's the reticulating activating system inside your brain that's now saying, look, I dropped my keys this morning. I tripped over my thing. It's going to be a week from hell. The minute that I plant that seed inside my own head, guess what? It's going to be. You're asking for it. It's as simple as that. I don't want to go to the law of attraction and the power of positivity, but it really just comes down to you are manifesting what's out there. The way that you want to get into a situation and the way that you want to exit a situation is all up to you, especially when it comes to thoughts and emotions. Again, the problem is that we're set up to fail because we have a 6-to-1 ratio for emotions. You know, we have 6 out of the common 7 emotions that humans feel, 6 are negative. 1 is positive. Joy is the only positive emotion we feel. Then we have sadness, we got anger, we got fear, we got contempt, surprise, and disgust. So we're on an uphill battle regardless every single day. So again, knowing this type of information now though changes up the game, because now first now I can be like, okay, is it judgment, ego, fear that I'm going out of? Which keeper is it? That's the one. Okay, perfect. Now, which level am I speaking from? Am I in level one thought, level two thought, level three thought? Okay, perfect. And then now at the end of it, it really comes down to, okay, so what is it that I actually want? Going back to that, what is my actual outcome of this? Because I have the power to do that. Why am I giving my power to other people or anything else? We do that every single day, and we unconsciously, because we think justifying consciously, we say, oh no, but yeah, no, I just wanted to mitigate the situation. I didn't want to get into an argument with the person. Well, it's like, you didn't want to get into an argument, then don't get into an argument. It's just that simple. Why are we overcomplicating it?
Wow. You know, I think all too often as human beings, we tend to, like you said, give power to external forces, to people outside of what we can control. And if we, and I tell this to all my clients, like, hey, write down all the things you can control in every aspect of your life. And then read that every morning when you wake up and only focus on those things. And look up in 90 days and see where you're at. I mean, really think about that, right? Because we're creating the standard. Now we're creating this process and trust with ourselves that no matter what happens externally, we're going to focus on this list. We're going to focus on the things that are going to make us better and get us to propel to the next level. And when we do that time and time again, it becomes this great habit forming experience, right? And success is all about forming amazing habits, right? And then in 90 days, we look up and we have all this opportunity in front of us. And it's almost, there's so much there that it's overwhelming and it can be suffocating, right? And that's where I'm at right now. You know, I put my head down and did all the things and worried about things that I can control. And now I have 1,000 different things going on. I'm like, holy moly, how am I going to pull this off? Like, thank God I have a team now to help me, because otherwise I'd just be completely overwhelmed. So this to me is interesting, right? And it's something, like you said, we battle it as human beings every single day, man, every single day. You know, you said something else a while back that I feel that really needs attention. You know, in the next, 15 minutes before we hop off. I can't believe it's already been a half hour with you, dude. Like, honestly, it is mind blowing how quickly great conversations go. And then it almost makes me think, like, damn it, over the last 12 months, I could have been this much closer to this guy, because you find out when you have these recordings that how much you are alike and how much you actually do love that other person on the end of the other end of the screen. Absolutely. So I want to acknowledge you first and foremost. And, but secondly, man, the thing that you talked about that I know really needs attention, and it's a complete script changer for a lot of men that are over the age of probably 30 to 35. When I grew up, big boys don't cry. They don't talk about their emotions. They're not open with other men. And I really respect what you're doing with the Lion's Den, because I am one of the most emotional men you will ever meet. I am not afraid to cry in front of 1,000 men. And I think that I know the world needs more of that, because along those lines comes a lot of healing and understanding. Right. And as we talked about authenticity and communication. So I want you to dive in, man. And let's talk about your group, the Lion's Den, because I want those that are listening to be able to, those men to hop in if they need some help.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the space for that. You know, Lion's Den was something that I felt was a void in the market. We just talked about it, right? Our generation went from our generation, which was that ruthless kind of tough man mindset, to then very, very soft. So in between that, it was hard to adjust. And it's like, nobody's asking a man to just cry. That's not the point. But it's being able to know how to articulate yourself, even mentally. It's not even about to others yet. I always say, master the way you think first, then speak, and then you connect with others. So to break this down, the Lion's Den was built on three simple words: brotherhood, blessings, and breakthroughs. That's the core foundation. I just wanted a place where brothers could come together and we could just be in a safe spot. We can chill. We can talk. We can do our men thing. The blessings, whether you believe in God or you believe in yourself, being able to be grateful and understanding gratitude is the ultimate cure to any negative emotion. You can't simultaneously be angry while you're grateful. You can't simultaneously be sad while you're grateful. So you use gratitude and blessings to really, you know, push past all of that. And then the breakthroughs, you know, on the Lion's Den call, maybe it's something that I will say, maybe it's another lion will say something, but looking for those breakthroughs and seeking those breakthroughs was the core foundation of what we did at Lion's Den. And from there, of course, it's escalated to just, you know, really improving communication style, being able to present one-to-one, one-to-many, you know, being able to articulate and using our voice to go out there. And I like to, well, that's the Lion's Den, right? So uncage your roar, like get your roar out there, because we all have that roar. And that's the most powerful thing, is we all have that inner roar. Every man has that roar. But the problem is that maybe we don't know how to roar. I don't think so. It becomes that trusting yourself. Now, I broke down trust last week on the Lion's Den call, and I'm going to do here as well with you, because it's very, very powerful to decode the word trust, and especially trust in ourselves. You mentioned it a little bit about where you're at right now, right? This is the same factor that us men get into, because it's trusting ourselves now. We can trust the system. We can trust the business we've built. We can trust other people. We can trust that. But trusting ourselves to that full capacity is how we level up as men. So when we break it down into these three components, when we look at trust, you look at these three words: dependability, reliability, and ability. Now, you may ask, what's the difference between them? Well, picture hiring a babysitter for your kids, right? If you want to trust your babysitter, those three words are going to come up: dependability, reliability, ability. So the difference between them is dependability. Let's start with ability. Ability is the skill set. Ability is, this babysitter has the skills to be able to take care of my child. Okay, makes sense. The reliability now. The reliability is, this babysitter is going to show up on time. I know that this person is going to show up on time and we're good. I don't have to worry about that. I know my dinner plans. She shows up. I'm good. Reliability is there. Dependability now. What would be the difference between reliability and dependability? Dependability is knowing that babysitter is going to care for my child the way that I would. Now that's a different one. Now, when you get all three of these together and you have somebody that's dependable, you have somebody that's reliable, and you have somebody that's able now, that is the true definition of trust. What we do as men within our own subconscious and our own minds is we don't give ourselves enough value and credit for that. We say, yeah, of course I can trust myself, but do I have the ability? Yes, I'm running the business. I have the ability. Am I dependable? Dependable, absolutely, because I want the best for the business. Am I reliable? Ooh, maybe that's the one that I got to work on. Maybe I'm not staying so hard to my commitments. You know, I was asked the other day, they're like, what is the definition of a real man? They asked me that. They're like, Jay, you're the lion and leasher. What's the definition of a real man? And the way that I said it was simple. A real man is someone that honors and stays committed to his word. That's it. Nothing more. You don't need to have the money. You don't have to have the cars. You don't have the clothes. As long as you stick to your word and you are committed to your word and you follow through on that, you are a true man. That's it.
Dude, I love that, man. It's something that every time, the babysitter example for parents is spot on, dude. Every time my wife and I meet someone new, we have two people that we trust our children with that are not family. And these two girls, you know, they're like family now, because we know all these things. We know that they have ability. We know they're reliable, and we know we can depend on them. Right. But when you're initially making those decisions, you're asking yourselves those questions. And, you know, what I encourage people to really do now after listening to this episode, because there's a lot of amazing information in here on just how the human brain works. And it was broken down into a conversational and not boring way, right? When you're going through a decision-making process, think about that. Think about that. You know, we're talking about trust. Okay. Well, if I'm going to have this person do this for my business, do they have the ability? Are they reliable? And can I depend on them? That's the framework, man. And it's not, and for you guys listening at home, that isn't just for other people. That's for yourself. Okay, I want to be clear, because if you aren't keeping your word to yourself, are you waking up when you say you're going to wake up? I don't care if it's 6 a.m., you know, 5 a.m. or even 9 a.m. I don't care. But like, what are you saying to yourself every single day? And a lot of people will say, man, I really don't know if I can trust myself to do this. Well, that's because they're falling short in one of these areas and they're not keeping their word to themselves. And if we can keep our word to ourselves, our children are going to see it. Our spouses are going to see it. Our employees are going to see it. Your clients are going to see it, and they are going to run through brick walls for you because they know you're a man of your word.
Absolutely. That's what it takes to be a leader. You know, that's people follow people. You know, for a long, and this, again, is a misconception nowadays, because everyone goes, oh, well, money is everything. Okay, good. Then you get money in your hand. And when you get money in your hand, you're like, whoa, it actually wasn't money at all. It was actually time. Time is the most valuable, because I can't buy back a minute. Great. What happens when you have money and time? Then what happens? Mm-hmm. You understand that people are everything. People are everything. So communication, having trust within yourself, allows you to build better relationships. Those relationships are going to manifest to, yes, family, friends, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives. But on this side, clients, investors, the next step in your relationship. You know, I remember sitting down, because I had the trust in myself in what I was doing with real estate. A quick story. I was sitting down, and within 2 beers, I raised $1 million for a real estate project. How do you do that within 2 beers? How much trust and rapport can you build with somebody over 2 beers? But you have to trust yourself before I could even go out there and ask somebody else to trust me. And this is another thing that we do specifically as men more than anything, is that we go out there and we try to please, and we try to get that wife and make her happy. And once we've captured her, we're like, yes, I'm good. I'm set. Now that I got her, I don't have to like do all the maintenance anymore. It doesn't work like that, because again, it's a lack of trust in yourself to know the man that you are, what you committed to, and what you're going to follow through on.
Dude, it's big, man. I mean, these are all amazing. This is amazing topics, dude, because this is what people need to listen to. You know, like, I know this is going to impact so many people. And I know there's a lot of people listening right now that are saying, you know what, man, I'm not doing that. And you know what, this person that I know is not doing that. Well, if you know people that aren't doing that, and you want to support each other and grow as men together, as human beings, and you want to learn how to value people more, send them this episode. Because I'm going to tell you, you listen to this over and over again, there's been plenty of action items. If you read into this deep enough, there's the framework of becoming a leader, becoming a man, right? And a person that loves people. I mean, it's the complete recipe for interpersonal relationships, dude.
Here's the final piece to this as well, too, is you just mentioned, you know, some people are probably listening to this going, oh, you know, I don't do all of that, or I could do better. Okay, give yourself permission to feel that. This trumps everything. Mm-hmm. Give yourself permission to feel a negative emotion. Give yourself permission to fuck up. Give yourself permission first, and then it mitigates it at the end. Instead of, oh man, see, I shouldn't have trusted myself, because now look, I got myself in more debt. It's like, just give yourself permission and say, okay, I'm going to give myself permission that if I get into 5K or 10K or 100K extra in debt, I've at least given myself permission to do so. But I don't want to do that. I want to avoid that. But because you've given yourself permission, you've allowed yourself to kind of breathe a little bit. So it's okay if you're not doing all these things, but you're right. The framework is there. You know, with the online and resources and amazing podcasts like this, this is how we're getting more word out there. This is how we're getting more of our voices and our stories out there. So taking this framework is awesome. But applying it now and giving yourself permission for when you aren't hitting it fully is okay. Don't beat yourself up too much. When was the last time that us men actually just, you know, at the end of our hard day of work, because we work so hard, just go, man, I'm gonna pat myself on the back. Like, I feel good. That was a good day. It's hard to do that. We're not really conditioned to do that. We're like, nope, tomorrow's another day. Tomorrow's another day. Give yourself permission and you'll change your game.
It's so funny, because I remember earlier this week, I had this big moment in the business, right? This big freaking moment where I was able to now like deploy multiple resources to get where I want this platform to be, where I want to be. And immediately I went, oh shit, what now? What now? What now? Now this goes off. We're going to do this. And now like this studio is obsolete. What am I going to do? Instead of just enjoying that moment of patting myself on the back for doing something that I have been looking to do for 4 years. It's a thing, guys. It's a sickness almost, right? It's like, okay, it's that drive. Okay, what next? Oh shit. Shit. And then we don't lean into the win enough. And then we also get lost in all the noise. And I quickly was able to rebound, right? Whereas back in the past, I couldn't. And it was just like, okay, I did that. Fantastic. Great job. Let's smile and let's leave all the BS for tomorrow. Like, let's leave all the what ifs. Let's leave everything, because you've already proven, Sean, that when the what if actually comes, you have a solution, and that's trust. All right, guys, listen, you heard it. Reach out to my boy. His handles will be in the show notes along with this website. I encourage you to go check him out, reach out to him, drop him a DM and let him know where you heard him, where you found out about him. And, if we can do anything for you, please, by all means, just ask. But more than anything, a favor from, for us, from you, is to share this show with anybody that you feel would benefit from it. And we would appreciate it. And thank you guys so much for taking the last 45 minutes to learn a little bit more about Jay and the amazing things he has going on. And go out there and dominate your day, guys. And I always say this, I've always wanted to wake up in a world or in a society that wakes up determined to chase their fucking dreams. So get out there today, be determined, and go get yours. Peace out. Southwest Florida is one of the most beautiful places on the planet to live. For those of you that are thinking of moving from other states to come to Florida, or even just moving to a different part of the state, I want you to think of a big, beautiful, luxury home. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. They are a family-owned and operated luxury residential construction company. As a family-owned business, they believe in the power of building not just homes, but legacies. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. The nightmare of feeling like you'll never measure up, of constant second guessing and self-doubt. It eats away at you and destroys your confidence. I've been there too, feeling like I didn't belong on the field with my teammates, but it doesn't have to stay that way. I used to compare myself to everyone around me. I thought that no matter how hard I worked, I'd never be as good as the other guys. It killed my self-belief. I now help athletes develop an elite mindset so comparison no longer controls them. We teach techniques to cut out the negative self-talk and unlock their full potential. Imagine stepping into the box when it counts the most and feeling totally confident in your ability, feeling invincible instead of insecure, ready to seize the opportunity instead of shrinking from it. That's the mindset I help athletes develop. Don't waste another minute on comparison and self-doubt. Take control of your mindset and become the confident, unstoppable competitor you were meant to be. DM or comment below to get started with Edge and transform your mental game.